Hello, Probus.
Howdy, howdy, and welcome to But It Was Aliens.
The extraterrestrial comedy You forgot I was opening all those, didn't you?
No, not at all. I was just confused about the sexual sound you made.
The extraterrestrial comedy podcast brought to you by two former MIBs.
It really caught me.
Each week, we dissect a case to bring you the truth about the beings amongst the stars. I'm your host this week, King Moonwalker, and sitting opposite me is Garçon Greybeard.
You've taken the crown off, though, Mr. Moonwalker.
I can't have the crown in the headphones.
Well, you probably could.
I probably could, but...
it's in reaching distance
next week. Or now.
And with that, he swiftly puts it on.
There we are.
I'm gonna take a photo for the viewing pleasure.
Today, we take a trip to Colombia.
Colombia,
not the country,
oh,
but the city, which is situated in the state of Missouri. James Richards. Or JR lived.
Good old JR.
On the outskirts with his daughter, 16, and her son, who was 3. It was June 28th, 1973.
Why are you laughing?
It's your face.
I'm just trying to get my head.
That sounded so harsh.
But fair. I was trying to get my heads around the ages of the people.
I know, that's why. Yeah. That's what threw me, because I knew it was there.
It's quite an age gap between the daughter and the son.
Quite an age gap.
You could call that 13 years.
You could.
Lucky for him, clearly. Are you saying having a child isn't lucky? He got sex.
It's her son.
James? Oh, shit. Yeah, okay. I misheard you there, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
James, his daughter, and her son. So hopefully JR didn't get lucky.
I would hope not.
Jesus Christ.
It was June 28th, 1973. Mr. Richards' daughter, let's call her Jane.
Jane!
It was just after midnight, and Jane was making her way to the fridge to put a bottle in for her 3-year-old. Bottle for a 3-year-old sounds weird to me.
Well, they do have bottles, don't they? You go sippy cups and whatnot until they're like 10.
They had the windows open and were playing music from their record player.
I tell you what's weird. Boob pumps.
Are they weird?
Well, as a man, you don't really stop to consider them until you need them.
I happened to work in an establishment,
yes,
which sold them. So, or I did work.
But
there.
Did you ever stop and think about them?
I had to put them away. So I had looked at the box several times and was just like, ooh, this is weird. I didn't put it on because people weren't allowed
you
to
didn't put it on because you weren't lactating at the time. called me the wrong time there.
You're not allowed to return them for hygiene reasons.
Ah, that sucks.
So,
quite literally.
It's obvious, but at the same time, it was just not novel, but it's just like, oh, what do these do? I know they do, but how do they work?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You know they exist, but you don't ever stop and think about them existing or utilising them. How do we get onto that?
Don't put it on your balls.
Wait, what would that do?
Don't do it. Or do and let me know.
For science.
Can you remember the episode when we were talking about the boy that was milking the cow?
Yes. Yes. Same concept, I guess.
Yeah.
just to add, we haven't bought one of those, so I don't know where that even came from.
I thought you were about to say, yeah, we bought one.
I mean, but we might. I'm not saying they're useful products, just we haven't so far. Not quite there yet.
So they were playing music from their record player. another noise would soon hit Jane's ears, and it wasn't the smooth sounds of jazz, but more like a thrashing sound that was coming from the trees that surrounded their mobile home. As she listened closer, she believed that the sound she was hearing was something moving a large tree. Something, bring her right over there.
By God!
She then started to call for her dad, trying not to garner the attention of whatever was making the noise outside.
But someone had been broken in half!
JR got up to see what his daughter was bellowing him for. When he got to her, she was rushing around locking the doors. JR's attention was drawn to the window.
To the wall!
And when Jane had finished locking the doors, she joined him. As they were sat there, shivering, anxious and scared of what could possibly be out there, two light beams became visible to them.
Good God!
They were about 50 feet from their location, between the trees, and described as narrow at the bottom and wide at the top. Similar to if you were to shine a torch upwards, that kind of cone shape.
Nice.
JR believed that the lights came from the same source and was above them, but try as he might, he could not make out what exactly they were coming from.
Dark.
Then, as if a switch had been flicked, the lights disappeared, and in their place was a bright oval-shaped object.
No longer dark in the sky. When the X-Files first came out, they made famous, I guess, for television's sake purposes, the concept of beams from a torch, like flashing around as they were going in dark areas.
Mm-hmm.
I used to really want a torch powerful enough to do that, but could never get one through my means as like a 5-year-old.
You were 5 when the X-Files came out?
Yeah. Allegedly.
Did it not come out in like 96, 97?
Wasn't it like 93? Even... Just done the maths in your head.
Yeah, even so. You're not 5.
Allegedly. Truthfully. But I was not of working age, that's safe to say.
That is safe to say, yes.
And so could not afford to buy said torch or even to travel to buy said torch further than like a £2 shitty one.
I mean, if your parents had their wits about them, they could have put you to work.
Are you advocating for child labour?
Just you.
Just for my labour as a child.
They could have had you like cleaning their cars for some pocket money.
I used to
chores around the house.
I used to cut the grass for pocket money.
See?
Sometimes.
Child labour. Sometimes handy.
JR, the voice of our youth, you could say. That may have been how me and you first connected over a shared love of WWF in the day.
That and possibly video games.
Yeah. Whilst playing football.
Yeah.
Because I can remember I used to hang around with a certain group of friends and you were there with a certain other group of friends and we were playing football and you guys joined us.
The group of friends you used to hang around with were in my form.
Yes.
And that's why.
Yeah.
That is the origin story. How it came to be.
Obviously that was after the MIB Academy that I joined when I was 3.
And I joined when I was 2. We crossed paths. But didn't know one another. JR and Jane stayed exactly where they were, both too scared to move and excited at the same time. They had to shield their eyes somewhat due to the bright lights the object was giving off. So silver and so shiny. Bearing him.
Look at them shine.
Bearing in mind that this was after midnight, the light from the object lit up the surrounding area so much so that it could be mistaken for early morning. As they kept their eyes towards the object, they noticed that the trees around it were beginning to sway, as if something was pushing itself past them. something big. But not all the trees behaved this way. It appeared as if some were being pulled towards the ground, as if a string was tethered to the top and being yanked. The thrashing sound that Jane heard earlier suddenly stopped, followed by a loud cracking sound which rang out into the faux day.
You've made yourself laugh there, haven't you?
And then and then silence. The silence didn't seem to affect just outside. For a moment, it affected them inside too.
I have a question.
You do?
Have you superimposed an image of good old JR the wrestling commentator onto every single page of the research?
That would be telling. Don't go scrolling to have a look
I'm not. Oh, wait patiently. I'm just going back over the previous section because once I've seen the image of JR, it kind of wipes my mind of everything else. It's very distracting. So, bright lights, oval object in the sky, silver and shiny. Trees were being... Oh, yes, I struggled to get my head around that, almost as if they were being pulled to the ground with a string. How the hell can that work?
Think of... You know, sometimes in cartoons, you see where they'll use two trees as a slingshot?
Yes, yeah.
And the way the trees move, that's kind
of... Yes, yeah, I've got the concept. Just how is that happening?
How?
Because the craft is above them.
It's amongst them. It's 50 foot from the house, not necessarily 50 foot in the air.
So is the craft...
It's amongst the trees.
Tying making the trees... But then some are going backwards rather than forwards.
Bending their way.
So they're all bending out of the way rather than some are they're going in different ways. They're all kind of going the same bendy way. Okay, I'm with you with that hand gesture. Not so much with that one. I'm with you.
That is the worst sound effect you should have made then.
That wasn't even intentional. I'm thinking we had a trashing sound. I'm guessing that was the gravitational force thrashing of this sound, craft that was causing the trees to like crack and bend and whatnot. And then it stopped because the craft had come to rest.
Possibly.
So what happens next? Are we getting abducted, slabbed and probed is what I'm wondering. No indication either way as yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. this picture of JR. He's got such a smile on his face, bless him. And all that hair. Why did they cover that glorious hair up with a hat?
Wasn't that his choice?
I think that... I'm not entirely sure, but I think the hat may have been suggested to him and he didn't like it at first, but then he came to appreciate that it sort of symbolised him.
Became iconic.
Yeah, and now he won't be without it.
Iconic! JR had a couple of dogs and it had only just dawned on him at this moment in time the dogs that would normally bark at the sight of their own shadow were silent.
Ooh.
He went all around the mobile home checking outside the windows to see if he could get a better view of whatever this object was. But he couldn't. And on top of that, the dogs seemed to be trying to hide from whatever it was. Good old JR had had enough. And he went to get his guns.
Gosh darn it. Bloody... Why? Why do you have guns? There's no need for that.
Armed to the teeth with guns and ammo, he loaded them up.
And grenades.
And placed them out of reach of anyone other than he and Jane. Smart move with a 3-year-old in the house.
Well, I'd argue a smarter move would be not to have them at all, but continue.
He returned to his daughter, locked and loaded, ready for any crazy shit that would go down. but it was like a Mexican standoff. Nothing was happening. So JR did what any sensible adult would do in this situation and called the police. Almost as if to mock him, as he made that call, the object moved. It went up an extra 150 feet and hovered over a nearby field. This now allowed JR and Jane to see the object a little clearer. And now we can confirm that this was a craft.
Didn't you confirm that right at the start when you said it was like an oval?
Nope, just said it was an oval. With a body of silver and a blue band of light at the edge, with an orange glow emanating from the blue edge.
Interesting.
The craft then moved back to its position closer to them. JR had received a call back from Garçon following his initial call asking for assistance.
Garçon.
Whilst on the phone, the lights within the abode were dimmed down and brightened back up several times. Garçon assured him that someone would call him back and for him to sit tight. The person tasked with calling JR would try to call him but couldn't get through. They tried over and over again. JR was beginning to worry that no one was going to contact him, so he picked up the phone. When he did, there was somebody on the other end immediately. This individual asked him to relay the events of the evening to them, clearly and concisely. He was then transferred to the flight service station at Columbia Regional Airport. He would be reassured by her that she'd contact the police, and she did something I would call unprofessional. She told him of other sightings she was aware of that had happened 2 weeks earlier.
Ooh.
And then she hung up. The object then decided it would start to approach JR's home.
Where's your duty of care, Garçon?
Garçon!
This is going to be our terminology moving forward, isn't it? People are going to be, what the hell are them two on about? Oi, Garçon! We'll be on the football pitch. Pass, Garçon! So, Garçon, sorry, JR called the police. The police returned the call and then transferred him to the flight service station.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So I don't know if when he called the police he got a Garçon and they didn't know what to do, so it was like, I need to go and speak to someone and then call you back.
Surely he's got an incident he wants support with. The police logically would have contacted the flight service station themselves to check if there was any craft in the area. They wouldn't patch a civilian through.
You would.
That is beyond the realms of procedure. I can't see a world in which that happens. That's bonkers.
Sounds like there's too many steps, too many processes.
When you work in any service, you go away and you verify information yourself. You don't give someone contact at like another service to... Yeah, madness. So it's approaching the home.
Yes.
I still have no indication as to whether a probing is coming up.
Or if anyone's going to get slabbed.
It's been a while since we've had a slabbing and probing, isn't it?
It has.
Been many months.
Are you talking podcast now or real life?
Real podcast.
JR and Jane would stay fixated on the object.
Ah, there's no JR.
It then stopped. The fear was becoming more and more intense. That trigger finger was starting to become jittery. But then, the craft began to fade. It didn't move, just started to fade away until it was completely out of sight.
No slabbing.
Officers arrived on the scene at around 1:45 a.m., nearly a full 2 hours after the start of the incident. However, I'm unsure how long after the phone call it was. The officers would speak to JR and then inspect the surrounding area. The officers would find nothing significant. JR, in a fit of rage, told them to forget about it.
Forget about it!
The officers would then follow him, but JR insisted. So they did. But 2 weeks later, the true detectives turned up.
Moonwalker and Greybeard.
Jay, Alan, Hynek, and Ted Phillips.
Ooh, the big dog and who?
Along with his wife. They found something much different from what the police found. They arrived on the 9th of July and checked the surroundings. Photographing everything.
Gosh darn it. There is a picture of JR in the notes, just hidden towards the bottom of the page. Sorry.
Yeah, you threw me. So they photographed everything they could.
I'd argue you threw yourself.
The measurements they took would seem to corroborate JR's story. And significantly, they found a tree which was twisted and pulled from the ground and heavily damaged.
What?
Which could have been the cause of the loud cracking sound they had heard earlier. They would check the area where the craft was allegedly truthfully spotted, and they found heat spots on trees and a spot where the fallen leaves from most of the trees appeared to gather in a rough circle. They also found a complex set of tracks which they didn't think were rabbits, which the police did.
The tracks interest me less, because if they weren't rabbits, they could have just been foxes or something slightly bigger. That's not so interesting. But how the hell can you twist and pull a tree from the ground? Trees fall over, fair enough, but evidence of it being twisted, a tree.
Twisted.
With all the, think about all the roots and whatnot underground. That is mental. And pulled. I was going to add one other comment as well. They arrived at 1:45 a.m. 2 hours after the incident. So if this was
nearly 2 hours.
Approx. So if this was some sort of safety concern, JR would have been buggered by now. But more importantly, or less importantly, but possibly more importantly, depending on the nature of the incident, doesn't the man need to sleep?
Would you be come there to if wake? Something like that was going on?
I sleep so good now. I used to be pretty nocturnal and really struggled to sleep. Since we've started this podcast, I don't really play computer games anymore, and I fall asleep. I don't know whether that's just coincidence or what, but I fall asleep within 5 minutes. I put a podcast on, roll over, boom, I'm out. It's phenomenal. Best sleep of my life the last few years.
Welcome to my world. In bed by 9, asleep by 9:05.
Maybe that's just getting old then.
But
about sleep or turning up about 2 hours later?
Turning up 2 hours later. We don't know the time of the phone call. So,
well, we know it's nearly 2 hours later and it's 1:45 they turned up.
But he
so
might
11:45-ish.
He might have called them at like 1 o'clock. Plus we don't know how far away the station is to him. So he might have called them at 1 o'clock. They then
But you said they arrived Yeah.
So it might have only
say you weren't sure how long after the phone call it was. Sorry, in my mind, I was thinking you'd said that he called them around 1:40. They arrived 1:45, 2 hours after he'd called them, but that's not what you said.
No.
You said after the incident, didn't you? And that you weren't sure. Okay, my mistake. So they could have been there in 2 minutes.
They could have been.
And woken him up, because he falls asleep like that. He just sticks a little podcast on and off he goes.
And there we have a diagram for you.
Who made this diagram? Is it someone who's investigated it? Was it the police or was it JR themselves?
I think it was either Hynek or Phillips.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. So sketch number 6, which means there were 5 previous sketches, you'd assume. Otherwise, what the hell is going on with their labelling system?
There was.
We should release a t-shirt that just says t-shirt 6 on it. And no previous.
That sounds amazing.
So, okay, I'm just... the image is basically tracing the path of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
So it hovered. Oh, it starts at the bottom, does it? I was working out from, does it go top to bottom or bottom to top? We'll have to post this so people can understand what we're talking about. It goes from bottom to top, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. So it goes through the trees. Yeah. Yeah. It looks pretty consistent. Hard to say how far it is in the sky. Okay. I've taken that in.
Pretty straightforward, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty much just outlining what you've already told us. So I've wasted about a minute of the listener's time going, just taking the exact measurements with my mind. As we're talking, as we're talking, we've just had an email on our podcast account from someone saying, congratulations on your success with But It Was Aliens. We get so many emails like that from marketing companies now. It is bonkers.
I wonder how many people fall for those.
Well, I don't know if...
Or not fall for, but...
Think, you've sent this email to only us.
Yeah.
When actually it's just a copy and pasted email that's sent to several thousand podcasts all at the same time, more often than not. Occasionally they put our actual names in there, so you can tell they've at least done a little bit of research. And
oh, we'll get them by using their real names.
Yeah, I consider replying to those ones just to congratulate them on looking up rather than doing the standard generic. Haven't done it yet, but...
Nearly.
You got to try harder to get us on board. We've said before, we've had emails from pretty much every single... In fact, I think we said this on Extraterrestrial Towers, that we've had messages from pretty much every single brand of known ball hair trimmer.
Yep.
Asking if we'd be interested in advertising them on our podcast. So I don't know what that says about what people think our listeners are like, but you got messy balls, folks. All of you. The men, the women, the children, the people who don't fit within those labels, shave your balls.
Mike. They would test the area for radiation, but they wouldn't find any signs of it. Phillips also interviewed a local reporter, Bob Gassaway, who had also come to investigate and found the odd imprints. He had noticed that the imprints appeared deep. Deeper than they would if they were rabbit tracks.
Deep, deep, deep.
He attempted to replicate this with the heel of his shoe, and this guy was also billed like The Undertaker at over 300 pounds.
Billed? By you?
No, they said he was over 300 pounds in the research.
They billed him, did they?
Billed him. But he didn't even get close. The investigators left and would come back 5 days later. The leaves that had formed the strange circle had started to decay and had decayed more than any other leaves around them.
Do your balls look like an alien? Try the Grass Strimmer 7.1! Is there a more difficult area of the body to shave than the balls?
Middle of your back.
Because you can't reach it. Yeah, good call, good call. But you could get someone else to do that.
You could get someone else to shave your balls.
Yeah, but would you? Would you?
No, that's a different story. Not after our last incident.
I'm thinking the only place that could be, and I'm not suggesting that anyone has hair there, but between your toes maybe, be hard to get a razor or contraption in there without hitting the web?
No, it wouldn't. You're not that flexible. You're not that flexible, are you?
You saying you've got a web between your toes?
Yeah. How do you think I swim?
Knew it.
Can you not, like, reach your feet?
Yeah. Then just in terms of how close together your toes are, even if you pull them apart to get right at the bottom where the hair would be growing from, I presumed that would be difficult. You're saying that so confidently, like you do.
Well,
this
you'd
every
just
weekend.
Have a different attachment, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of places that would be difficult to shave. I don't know.
I'm just assuming it would be like a nose nostril trimmer type thing.
Oh,
so you just have
so
a different
sucks.
Attachment, so it will just kind of slide between your toes.
I suppose you could do that with your balls, though, couldn't you?
That's why I said your back.
You could do anywhere with one of those things. Shit, maybe we should advertise them.
Still saying back. So, this...
We didn't talk about the case.
You just went straight onto body hair and ball sacks.
Yeah, my bad. So, I was going to question the build 300-pound Undertaker chap.
Didn't say he was as tall as the Undertaker. He was just 300 pounds plus.
But as a larger animal, the weight would have been more dispersed, so it wouldn't necessarily indent as much than a smaller, heavier animal.
It indented more than what he did.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because his feet are presumably wider and longer.
No, but he didn't try with his whole foot, just his heel.
Well, maybe he didn't try hard enough. Maybe it had been raining before the fox walked over.
The moon.
And what's the undertones there? What's the suggestion that these have been created by aliens, these rabbit tracks? So they're suggesting that the aliens have very, very small feet, yet
dense.
Are incredibly heavy. They've got real low gravity on their planet. They weigh like 600 pounds here.
So this is the part of the probe where we turn to science and skepticism.
I feel like I haven't seen JR for a while.
Do we have photographic evidence? Yes, we do.
Well, I want video, damn it.
I shall show you these in a minute. And we also have some radiation testing, which came back negative. Doesn't matter that they were negative. They did the testing. Now, here are those pictures for you, garçon.
Okay, can you... Can you talk me through this?
Absolutely.
The, the one with the red circle is the one I want to be talked through.
So that's part of a broken tree.
Okay. That shows me absolutely nothing. That's just a tree with a branch that's slightly cracked. Now, can you talk me through the fashion sense on the first picture, Mr. Moonwalker? That is a haircut and a half. That's typical 60s basin style, isn't it?
70s.
70s, my bad.
70s mull. Well, it's not even a mull, is it?
Funky shirt like our friend would wear.
It's almost like the two of our friends have been moulded into one here.
Which two?
Let me explain.
I can guess one of them.
You can guess one of them by the shirt. Absolutely obvious. 1,000%. And the other one is our friend that came to Norwich and had his eyebrows drawn in and everything else written.
Okay, tight trousers.
Because you remember that time in Norwich, his hair was quite big.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's his hair there.
Okay, I'm with you.
And he does like tight trousers and belts.
Tight clothes in general, yeah.
There we are. That's them two.
And in the background, it looks like one of our friends who now lives in Korea from a distance.
Yes, it does. Oh my God, yes, it does. Oh, hello, rat boy.
Steed! That is going to mean nothing to anyone but us. But that's all right.
It's fine.
We'll post these to our social media accounts, possibly. But it was aliens. Oh, there's more pictures.
There's more, yeah.
So you've shown me a broken twig.
Yep.
And the skyline through some branches.
Yep. These are actual factual pictures taken by the professionals.
Actual factual.
As proof.
Ah. Where's the video?
They didn't have video then.
Well, I call all sorts.
These were the actual pictures.
The actual factuals.
Actual factuals. Skepticism. I think the skepticism may be from the police officers themselves, who have a look around and incorrectly label the imprints as rabbit prints.
I've just come up with a theory. We'll come back to it.
We have zero skepticism from ourselves. Do we, garçon beard?
We didn't until you've just given me that last bit. So we mentioned earlier on that the police transferred this person to the air...
FSS.
Traffic, essentially. Yeah, whatever you want to call them. That would be really unusual. What if the police were having a practical joke Jim in the Office style, and we're pretending to transfer JR to a different department when actually it was a different officer. They're all sat around laughing at this chap, like going along with it, trying to convince him that the UFO is real. Now, if that was a real UFO, they could have absolutely screwed this chap's life up. But it sounds like a fun practical joke. Because I can't...
I get where you're coming from. Yeah.
I can't think how else that would happen.
Being like, bounced around from department.
Who then tells you about other sightings. Yeah.
That is so unprofessional. And why would they call you back? I don't get
that. Yeah, yeah. They call you back and then patch you through to somewhere else. They'd just signpost you to call somewhere else if there was somewhere that you needed to report it to that wasn't them. But if it's a security incident, it would be them. Mm. If it wasn't, they'd tell you to call up whoever.
Maybe they didn't have the technology at the time. Maybe it was a case of, right, you hang up, I will call this person and get this person to call you.
But they didn't even do that. They called them up and then patched them through, which is so suspicious.
They didn't.
You said Garson called back and then patched them through, transferred them to the air thingies.
Yes, I did.
So, like I said, that is so very confusing.
I was thinking of the earlier phone calls. I was like, no, they didn't. They called him back. Or they didn't. Tried to call him back, but didn't. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's just very, very suspicious and suggests having a giggle. What do you know what Hynek thought of this one? I mean, he probably called bullshit, but...
We don't know. So to summarise, we have the case of good old JR.
My God!
And his daughter Jane. Jane hears a noise just after midnight over the sound of the record player. The loud noise pulls her focus to look out the window, where she is greeted by a bright light amongst the trees. She calls out to her father, trying not to pull the attention to herself from outside. Her father comes over to see what the fuss is about and is greeted by her running around, locking all the doors. He looks out the window and is greeted by the same thing his daughter sees. They keep their eyes on it, and then it starts to move. The trees start to move as if something big was moving through them. Then they see two lights moving through the trees. As they tried to figure out what it was, the lights went out. A bright oval-shaped object appears in its place. It was so bright that it appeared as if it was daylight outside. Then the thrashing sound subsided, which was then broken by a loud cracking sound that boomed from the trees. Then, silence. JR went to get his guns to help protect himself and his family. He realized his dogs were silent and seemed to be hiding from whatever this was. After a standoff, JR picked up the phone. As he did, the object moved up into the sky and over a nearby field. It was at this point it was obvious to JR that this was a craft. JR called for help and was assured by someone on the other end that they would get someone to call him back. This person tried but was unable to get through to him. Worried that no one was going to call him back, he picked up the phone again, which to his surprise, someone was instantly on the other end. They got him to relay what happened and they promised to get him through to someone. That someone was another someone who worked for the FSS.
Someone else.
She made him aware that she knew of a similar sighting 2 weeks earlier. The object came back down and set itself between the trees, close to JR's, and then after a few minutes, the object just started to fade away. Two police officers arrived around 1:45 and investigated the area. They found nothing but rabbit tracks. JR got annoyed and told them to forget about it. He was insistent, so they left. 2 weeks later, the real investigators turned up. In their investigation, they found no radiation, burned trees, broken trees, leaves from the trees were found in the same area. The tracks that were found were too deep to be rabbit tracks, and they got a local reporter who they'd spoken to attempt to recreate how deep the imprints were. And weighing in at over 300 pounds, using his heel, he couldn't.
From Death Valley!
When they came back 5 days...
Undertaker!
When they came back from the dead, 5 days later, they found the leaves were decayed more than they should be. And more than the leaves around them.
Rub my urn!
This...
Rub it!
...is all we have. The case is currently unsolved.
Is it?
And we're about to allegedly, truthfully close it. Garçon.
Oui, oui.
Do you believe this was aliens or something else?
So I think the police part, they're having a giggle. What was the sighting? I don't know that I've got enough to formulate a definitive conclusion in my mind. You haven't tarnished JR's character for me. You haven't brought in any red hot evidence to say it was something in the sky. You've given me a diagram that was very basic and I spent far too long trying to work out. The bit about a tree being pulled and twisted out of the ground intrigued me, but why are there no photos of the hole? Presumably, if you twist a tree, those roots are going to be cutting up all sorts of mess in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There was none of that, so I feel like this one has been exaggerated, and there isn't enough probably to say that it was aliens, but I don't know what JR did experience. There's nothing to suggest that JR was anything but truthful in relaying his truth. I just don't know what the truth behind his truth was. So I don't know. So basically what I'm saying is this unsolved mystery remains unsolved.
It's still unsolved. So I think it's more likely going to be a couple of teenagers being little pricks with lights and
never
possibly a boombox. We hear about the trees moving and everything like that.
In the wind.
But when we see the pictures of the trees, they're not really that bent. Like, the broken branch, I would argue a human could do that pretty easily. I would also argue it's possible it's so high up, it's not even part of what broke it. It could just be a broken branch by a strong wind. The pictures that they took are horrendous. It's literally like they just pointed a camera up at a tree and was like, I'm going to take a picture of this set of branches. And that was it.
Yeah. it really wasn't like the smoking gun of evidence, was
no,
it? It was almost half-assed, actually, for Heineck & Co. I don't recall them putting less effort into...
So I think...
Where's the air data for that evening? Where's the radar? You said that they took radioactive samples and it was negative?
Yep. Huh. That's it for today's case. Thank you for joining us for this week's probe. You can find us everywhere at But It Was Aliens. That's Facebook.
And now Twitter!
Now known as X. Instagram, and we have a Facebook group called Extraterrestrial Towers. If you'd like to hear more from us outside the realms of the extraterrestrial, you can find us on patreon.com/ But It Was Aliens. There we cover ghosts, Rasputin's dick, pegging, and much, much more.
Bloody pegging.
As always, I have been Moonwalker, and he has been Greybeard.
And I still am.
Remember, the truth is up there. #, probe. Ooh, cat daddy.